There were people from each of the four big churches in Fitzroy to hear Dr. Leslie Carroll tell them that those churches carry a burden of guilt and responsibility for a conflict that cost thousands of lives.
In the whole area of sectarianism, the churches are well placed, in our view, in fact, best placed to address the situation. On the one hand, with our particularly religious component to sectarianism, the churches are well versed in its language and have played their part in building the sectarian system. On the other hand, the churches have the language to address that, and that is the language of forgiveness, reconciliation, and healing. This is the language of the gospel. So we have both languages and should be able to have a conversation. Churches provide both the language and notions which sustain sectarianism and the language and notions to get us out of this mess.
And there was widespread endorsement of the view that the churches have sins to answer for. Kevin Cooper is a member of Healing Through Remembering, but he spoke from the floor about his experiences as a press photographer.
Well, as a press photographer, I was present when gatherings of large crowds heard politicians preach hate, and on many occasions members of the clergy stepped forward and blessed that hate. So I think that the challenge for faith is to face up to some of that history.
Not that the churches have to carry all the blame.
Sectarianism and also conflict is not divorced from other institutions within this society, and the same challenge is for civic society and other groups within society for their omissions and failure of leadership and failure to stand up when things that should have been challenged were not challenged.
The Reverend Harold Good was at the meeting. He is a former president of the Methodist Church in Ireland. He ministered on the Shankill Road in the early days of the Troubles, and he was a formal witness to the decommissioning of IRA weapons. Yet he accepts the charge that he bears some responsibility for starting the Troubles.
We have been main contributors to this conflict, and when we
have you been
begin,
a contri- have you,
well, when
have
we
you
can
been
be-
a con- have you Harold we, Good have we, you Harold Good been a contributor to this conflict?
When we can begin to be honest about that, then we can expect others to be honest.
Have you Harold Good been a contributor to this conflict?
We have all, through association, by who we are, what we are, what we are not, and what we have failed to be, by identifying ourselves by what we are not rather than what we are. We have all subtly, sometimes very subtly, sometimes not so subtly, been a part of this sectarianism. Leslie spoke about the soft sectarianism, you know, where we shop, how we judge people by their names, etc., etc., etc. We're all a part of that.
Have you dealt with your bigotry?
I deal with my bigotry every day.
That's Dawn Purvis, the Progressive Unionist Party MLA, who advises the UVF.
I have lots of prejudices. I hold up my hands to all those prejudices, and I think it's something that I challenge myself on every day. I don't know how many people are as honest about that and how they challenge themselves with their own internal prejudices. I do that every day.
And she endorses the challenge to the churches to reflect as energetically on how damaging their teaching can be.
I think churches need to look at themselves, look at their own theology, look at their own value systems and their systems of belief, because inherent in that is a competition of beliefs as to who is right, who is wrong, who's going to heaven and who is not. And inherent in that is some notion of superiority. And with superiority then comes discrimination and prejudice.
There was a failure of the institutional church bodies to make a sustained, united impact during the conflict. Often it was the actions and initiatives of individual congregations, organisations and church people that made a significant difference. Now, we can provide all sorts of reasons and excuses for the failure of our institutions, among them the fact that the church is made up of people caught up in the conflict. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there is still work to be done, and blustering about our righteousness in the past won't make for a better future.
The whole first-year class of trainee priests of the Church of Ireland was at the meeting. They had been brought there by the Irish School of Ecumenics as part of their training in reconciliation. You cannot now train to be a priest in the Church of Ireland unless you study reconciliation. That is that church's contribution to battling sectarianism. Jim Wallace is one of the ordinands.
We have a module on reconciliation, a dedicated one, being addressed by Trinity College and the Irish School of Ecumenics, and it comprises 25% of our entire marks for the first year of this degree. So, you know, that's a pretty big statement, because you've obviously got biblical studies, you've got theology, you've got so much to do, but reconciliation.
You can't pass if you're a bigot.
Yeah, absolutely, indeed.
Well, what about the Presbyterians then? Leslie Carroll was eloquent in calling the churches to order. What about her own?
What the General Assembly agreed to do in June past was to ask every presbytery across the island to consider the nature and extent of sectarianism within their bounds and to report back to the Church and Society Committee, who will then collate all that information and chart out and map out a way forward for the church around the issue of sectarianism. So that's where we hope to go with this.
You're going to challenge yourselves in your own bigotry?
Well, yes, I hope so. Yes.
Father Gerry Reynolds of Clonard is no mean champion of reconciliation himself, as one of the leaders of the Clonard Fitzroy Fellowship, but he had difficulty with the question of how his own church should take responsibility for the conflict.
We really haven't engaged with one another to find that common humanity, to find that common Christianity in one another.
But what Leslie and what others have been saying is that the churches themselves need to examine their own conscience about their own contribution to conflict. Does the Catholic Church still have to examine its own conscience over its contribution to the conflict? Or did it not have a contribution to the conflict?
Well, I mean, insofar as that it was Catholics who were involved in the conflict on the national side by and large, maybe many of them broke off their relationship with the church. I think of the times when I would have gone into Lankesh to celebrate Mass, and I mean, very, very few of the prisoners would be engaged with you in a worshipful way. Do you know?
But was the church, the institutional Catholic Church, was it blame-free during the conflict?
I find that very difficult to assess blame, you know, because I mean, it gets me nowhere. That's the first thing, accepting blame.
His second point is that there is work to be done.
I see the great need for, say, Catholic parishes to reach out towards their Presbyterian neighbours, their Church of Ireland neighbours, their Methodist neighbours, their Pentecostal neighbours. That's the basic thing that needs to be done at the grassroots level, and that's not easy.
But it is penitence that the Eames Bradley Group has demanded of the churches.
No institution in society should be more self-reflective, more repentant, more open to redemption than the churches. Where else would one begin with sectarianism than with the churches?
And for all that some in the churches are eager to accept the burden of guilt, there was not, after all, general agreement at the meeting that they deserve it.